I felt that the Lord wants to remind us about something this evening, and it'll probably be a start of something, I suppose. And he wants to remind us of this. We don't go to church. We are the church. And I think we can get so kind of caught up with the busyness of life and doing stuff and trying to get to meetings and trying to lead our families and trying to be a good husband and wife and a good child, that, and you're trying to like use your giftings, and these things are all good. Trying to worship the best we can and trying to, but like this building is not the church. This facilitates the church, but it's not the church. You are the church, and I am the church, and we are the church. Like, you need, it's not an I. You can't be I and be part of the church. It's a we are part of the church. And so I felt the Lord. I know what I'm going to say now and probably over the next, I don't know when I get to preach this again, but the building is not a church. These walls are not the church. You are the church, and I am the church, and we are the church. And it's not my church. And it's not your church. It's not Roland's church. It's not Evan Andrew's church. It's not Monet's church. It's Jesus' church. And we have to remember that, guys. I'm not here to get my own way. I'm not leading this congregation to get my own way, to be the guy. If I don't have to preach, I'm very happy being in the background. I don't need the microphone. I don't need people to tell me how great I am. I don't care, actually, to be totally honest. But thank you if you do. I'm not really like, I'm not trying to be horrible. But I love being in the background, pushing guys forward. I want to see people go further than I can do. I want to see the Marcells preach better than I could ever preach. I want to see the congregation grow so that we can plant out again to a new area where we can see more people growing in the Lord. That's not my dream. That's Jesus' dream. I'm not here to get what Brett wants. I'm here to get what Jesus wants. And that means I have to bow even myself as the leader of the congregation. I have to bow myself to Christ every day so that I don't mess it up. Because it's not my church. It's his church. And so, what is the church? The church is basically the assembly. It's the called out ones. Who believes that they are born again, spirit-filled believers of Jesus Christ, who has given their hearts to him? Who? Show me. Okay? You are the called out ones then. This is an assembly of the body of Christ. Every single one of us that believe that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, filled with his spirit, are the church. So it doesn't really matter how bad you are right now or how you're sucking in your life. That's not the point. The point is Jesus died for you and he wants to redeem you into something that you can't do on your own. It's supernatural. And maybe you're close to him. Don't look down on those who are battling, because you will battle. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart. Take heart. I've overcome the world. See, church is a place where we get together and we glorify his name and bring him the glory, and hope that as people look at us worshiping and looking at the word and fellowshipping with each other and loving each other as he loves us, being generous, I love that. As we are generous with one another and patient with one another, what should happen is people should go, man, you guys are a little bit strange, but there's something about you that is different from outside in the world. How cool does it feel to be the called out ones? How cool is it to be like, you are the church? We are the church. Like, think about that. You are the church of Jesus Christ. That's awesome. Well, I thought it was awesome. We need to understand something about Jesus. He is the head of the church. So Colossians 1, 18 to 20. Shame, I hope we do this right. I preach off mind maps, I don't preach off linear. So, like, shame. I try to linear, but let's see what happens. But Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. This is Christ's church. He is the head. We are his body. We are his hands and feet. It's beautiful. It's his church. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. Jesus is supreme. He's the beginning. You know that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and it was Jesus. In the beginning, when everything created was created, was with Jesus. It's His church. Yo, can you go to 19? Is there 19? For God in all His fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through Him, God reconciled everything to Himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by the means of Christ's blood on the cross. You know what it means to be the church? It means to live in the peace of the One who preceded creation in all His awesomeness, to be called by His name and to glorify Him. Oh, see, we don't go to church, we are the church. Look, you had to drive here. So get what I'm saying, don't, like, someone would be like, oh, come on, we had to get in our car. But I know we'd had to, but this is just facilitating us get together. You know, that is Jesus that's building His church, not me, not you. I'm just a pinky in His kingdom, in His body. You might be a knee or a buttocks or a, it's not a bad thing. What do you have to sit? You guys are sitting. If you didn't have a buttocks, imagine what that would feel like. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus says this to Peter, "Now I say this to you, Peter," which means rock. "Upon this rock I will build my church." What do you get it? Like, Jesus is speaking. I will build my church. Not Brett will build his church, or the elders will build the church, or the deacons, or the saints. Jesus is building His church. Not me. We're just part of it. We're just trying to grow together and become more like Him, look like Him more. And all the powers of hell will not conquer it. This is a cool thing about the church. We cannot be defeated, because the battle has already been won. Will we have troubles? Yes. Will we have little skirmishes? Yes. Will things get hard? Yes. Will we hate each other from time to time? Yes. Because we're family. Never, hey babes. We never fight, eh? Never. Liar. Just about we move back before the lightning will come. He's building His church. 1 Corinthians 3, 6, and 7. I'm so not going to get through this today, but anyways, let's just. So Paul writes, "I plant the seeds in your hearts, and Apollo waters it, but it's God who made it grow." We forget this, guys. I can't make you grow in Him. Your spouse can't make you grow in Him. Your leaders, your community leaders can't make you grow in Him. He makes you grow in Him. But here's the thing. Like Peter mentioned, I did preach about the heart a few weeks ago. It's about the way we position ourselves in order to let Him grow us. We have some part to play. I'm not saying it just happens overnight. We have to be very wise in this whole thing. But and I love what Paul, he carries on and he says this: it's not important who does the planting and who does the watering. Think about that. It's not, I'm not here, Brett, to have my ministry so that I can be cool. I don't care. And Paul said the same thing. He's like, it's not actually relevant who waters, who plants, who. And some of us will fall into this trap where you think you're doing so much for the Lord. And you probably are, and that's cool. But at the end of the day, it's He the one. It's what He does that's important, not really what we do. What's important is obedience and submission to Him and being pliable in His hand. Is it making sense? Sorry, like, are you guys, it feels like, hey? And then he says, what's important is that God makes the seed grow. God's heart for His church, which is us, is that His seed grows in your heart on a day-to-day basis. That's the church. And that's easier said than done, isn't it? And maybe some encouragement. Sanctification is the process of becoming more like Christ. And that is a lifelong process. From the moment you commit your heart to him to the moment you give your last breath and you see him face to face, sanctification is taking place. Purification is taking place. And so don't lose heart, guys. If you're struggling right now to find him or getting in the word, or life is throwing you curveballs and there's just panic, and that's just par for the course. Just take it easy. I mean, even Donnie shared something that happened last night. I was like, if I was him, I would be stressing like, and you probably were stressing at one moment, but then how God, you'll share this testimony in a few weeks' time. But as God steps in and you go, wow, that was magnificent. Yeah. Like, it'll work out. It will work out. And if you are, yeah, I just felt very strongly in worship as well. Like, we're going to break bread just now before we end the meeting. It's never too late to say, God, I'm coming back. It's never too late to say, even though, God, I've messed up, God is a God of second chances. I believe that with all my heart because he's given me multiple second chances. Like, to recommit, it's never too late. The only time it's too late is when we stop breathing. But up to that moment, it's never too late. God is not that kind of God. Does it make sense? It's like, and so the church, we don't go to church. We are the church. And so there's a few pictures of what the church looks like. And so just to be practical, a few of them. The Bible talks about the church being the lampstand of God. And so the lampstand, if in the Jewish culture, it's that lamp that had the 12 arms, you know, like it like looks like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and that lampstand was made out of pure gold, and it shone light. It never, the light never went out in the tabernacle. It was always lit all the time. And so the church, as a picture of this lampstand, firstly, it's being purified as gold is purified through fire. And so when troubles come, if you think of Job, it's quite interesting. Go read Job 1 and 2, and you'll see that, I'm just trying to remember now that I don't give you false things, because it's not in my notes, but it's quite interesting. So the devil's roaming around the earth, and coming in to and fro, and God's meeting with his angels. And if you read there very carefully, God actually initiates that Job is awesome. God is the one that says, hey, have you considered my servant Job? You can probably do anything to him and he's going to be solid. Go read it. And so when it comes to this purification thing, and you look at 1 Peter going through the fire, like all of those things, it's, are you a man or a woman who God can look down on earth and go, Brett can handle whatever I throw at him because he knows that I'm his God? That's the whole point about the book of Job. If you go, God was like, Job's my guy. You can do whatever you want with him. Yes, he'll go through hard times and his wife will turn on him and his friends will be stupid and Leviathan will try whatever. He will stand true. I thought the batteries might be running out, but they're not. And so the lampstand, we have to be purified by fire. Our old selves have to be killed on a daily basis. We have to kill Brett every day. So that's, yeah, why did you say that so excitingly? Yeah. We have to go through trials because unfortunately, as people, we only really learn through pain if you really think about it. When things are cruising, man, you just fall into stuff. Is it just me? I'm just... And so as the church, we're the lampstand. And so while we've been purified, what happens is we start shining. Let me read some scripture just to make sure. 1 Peter 1:7. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. Thank you. You're doing great. Sorry, I'm all over my notes here. It's crazy. But these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's been tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole earth. The cool thing about the church is you don't have to go through these trials alone, and you shouldn't. See, the world, when people freak out in the world, they're all alone. Their friends will probably leave them. Like, hey man, we don't want anything to do with you. But the church is different. The church, when one part of the church hurts, the whole part of the body should hurt, right? And so, if you are going through trials and stuff, you don't have to do it alone. If you are doing it alone, maybe that's your choice, or maybe we need to get better at it. But you don't have to do it alone. And we shouldn't do it alone, because we're the church. This isn't a place where there are perfect people. Because there's no perfect one, only one perfect one, and his name is Jesus. But God is calling us to be perfect as he is perfect, as we walk together through the fire. And the worst thing about the church today is, and I've been watching some of these guys on YouTube and just trying to keep my eye on a few of these guys, and they're not doing church very well. And I think it really hurts the Lord. And it becomes this money-making thing, and it becomes this, I have to have this new revelation thing, and it becomes this, you can do whatever you want thing. And it's not really about that. Jesus isn't mentioned, salvation's on throne. It's just, see, that's not shining very, very good to the world around us. And so I suppose what we need to ask ourselves is, are we being purified by God's fire daily as his church? Or are we being stubborn and trying to do it our own way? And are we shining? Is your heart shining for you? Are you passionate about him? Passionate about, look left and right. Are you passionate about those people? Do you love them? Do you pray for them? When you see them hurting, are you like, oh, just get angry with the circumstance and angry with the devil and angry like, come on? Or are you just like, whatever? Because if we just whatever, I don't think we understand the gravity of the awesomeness of the church. We don't understand the heart of God actually for each other. Is this too heavy, or is it? I don't think it's too heavy. It's quite just reminding us of none of this is in my notes, so this is exciting. I don't know where to go from here. Matthew 5:14-16. Matthew 5:14 says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light lamps and put it under a basket." And I would just maybe make a thing. Like, it's one thing to shine here, because it's a kind of a safe place. It's a whole other thing to shine out there. But if we can shine here, we should be able to shine out there, right? And so, but they put on a stand, and it gives light to the whole house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who's in heaven. Again, it's about him. It's when things happen, it's not about me. But what I can do, it's about him, because it's you are his church. So we don't go to church, we are the church. We are the lampstand. We need to be purified. We need to shine bright. Because that's what Christ died for. Amazing. Second thing is, we his bride. Guys, this is a bit of a weird one for us, because I didn't really want to be called the girl. But there's a very strong picture of, we are the bride of Christ. We are we are chosen and loved by him to be married to him in a covenant relationship that he will never break. In other words, he's got a divine jealousy for us. So now Oprah Winfrey, she's quite open with this. She was a believer. She grew up Baptist. And when she read the scripture, she actually fell away from the Lord. Because in her mind, she couldn't reconcile, how can this God that I want to serve be jealous for me? Because jealousy is a bad thing. And so jealousy can be a bad thing, but in this context, it's not. It's a very good thing. And so Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2. It says, "As I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband to present as a pure virgin to Christ." And so this is how I think this works. If some guy tries to hit on my wife, which they have tried before in the past, by nature, I'm not generally a very violent man. Generally. There are moments where I have become a violent man to protect other people, but I remember playing, so I'll tell you the story. I remember playing, we used to play touch rugby on a Saturday for years, and it was a Christian touch rugby thing, but it always ended up in tackle rugby for some reason. And it always ended up in someone swearing and getting upset, and then they were kicked out of the group. And I remember I never swore or tackled people generally, except for this one day. This guy was friends with Abby at school. I can't even remember his name, but Gary. Gary wasn't very clever. Gary was not clever. And hopefully Gary doesn't listen to preachers that I preach. Anyways, just before the game, he's like, oh man, how did you, we were engaged then. I wasn't even married to you, I don't think. And he was like, oh, I was trying to get with Abby all these years in school. And I went, Gary. And I went like a bull. I just saw red. Every time I saw Gary, I saw red. And shame, I had to repent from the Lord. I smashed that guy. There was no touch rugby that day for me. There was like arms and yeah. And I said to Gary, if you ever say anything about my to be wife, this will end very, very, very bad for you. I never saw Gary again. Gary did not come back. Gary is now married, and hopefully he's happy. Good for him. I'm still jealous of my wife. If I don't want Oaks to look at my wife, I don't want them to flip and touch her. If you're not jealous and your husband for your wife, there's something wrong with your marriage. Like, I'm going to protect this. This is my lady. She's my person. And I'm her person. Her body's my body, and my body's her body. No one's going to flip and shrugglugglugglugglugglugglugglug. And generally, I'm not a violent man, but I will become a violent man to protect her. And I think that's the picture of Christ and his church. He is jealous for us. He doesn't want to share us with the prostitutes of this world and the flipping other gods who people are making up. He doesn't want to share you with your TV and the sports and whatever the world is into right now. He doesn't want to share you. He wants you for himself. Is it too heavy? Like, we're the bride of Christ, the church. We are his bride. And man, when I saw Abby coming down the aisle, I cried. I saw her and I was like, how the heck did I get such a beautiful woman to marry me? Like, thank you. See, God is a jealous God. He doesn't want to share you. He doesn't. And that's a good thing. And he doesn't want his church to be watered down. I'm so not going to get through my notes tonight. Does it make sense, guys? And no one's preaching this stuff. Okay, Andrew is, kind of. But you know why marriage is so important to the Lord? It's because it's the only tangible picture that the world has of his covenant with his church. And when we do well, the world looks at us and goes, man, okay, we kind of get it. But when we do badly, it actually waters down what God has done through the cross. I know, that's not in my notes either. Sorry, that is a bit heavy, sorry. Okay. This is like the way bread processes. And so, we're not only the lampstand who's been purified by the fire through the sanctification. We're not only his church that shines into this dark world, but we're his bride. We're the ones he loves. We're the ones he died for. You know, we're the ones that Jesus is in heaven right now, praying for each and every one of us 24/7. That's what the word says. That we will live in a way that brings his name, honor, and glory. That is phenomenal. Like, come on, like, yo. Like, I would have stopped at the cross if I was Jesus. Like, hey, I've done it. I died for them. I rose again. My job, no ways. Jesus, like, he goes the nth degree. He's like, I'm going to pray that all the stuff I did, because they're my church, and I'm building the church, and I'm the head, and it's because of me, actually. I'm just going to pray that they will do this thing well. And I'm just maybe just end with one more picture, and then we can end. And then I'll just carry on some other time. Remember, we don't go to church. We are the church. Let me pick a happier one. Let's check here. See, let me do this. It's not really a picture, but it is a picture. But you and I, the church, is God's eternal plan. Ephesians 3, verses 6 to 13. Check this out. Hopefully this is encouraging, and then we'll go into breaking bread. But, and this is God's plan. Not B plan, C plan. It's A plan. It's the plan. Okay? That both Jews and Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equality in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and that's a body is part like another picture of the church. Both enjoy the promises of the blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. So can I say this? This is going to get me into a little bit of trouble, I think. But I'm not scared of trouble. How do we translate that to us? The Heartbeat guys from 20-odd years ago. Love you guys. The Brackenfell guys who are here because they live in Brackenfell and we're part of Heartbeat guys. Love you guys. The Pinehurst guys. Love you guys. We're not separated. We're not... The Heartbeat guys and the Pinehurst guys and the Brackenfell guys, we are Buddhist guys. We're on the other side of the thing. If we have the mentality of that, there's no unity amongst us. You know, I've led a few congregations now, and I've realized one thing about leading in your congregation. I cannot lead this congregation like I led Sunningdale. And I couldn't lead Edgemead PM like I'm leading you now because it was a totally different congregation to Sunningdale. And I can't lead you guys like I led them because I'm older. The dynamics are different. It's a different group of people. I'm learning stuff. I've made mistakes through the time. It's a whole different thing. I have to change who I am to do the best that I can do here. It's not about Sunningdale days or Edgemead days. Or it's about now. Yes. We... are one, doesn't matter where we live. It says there, like we'll use it, I'm taking a little bit of Gentiles and Jews. It's not about the different people groups. If we are the church, we are the church. Is that too, Roland, or you're right there? Are you happy, smiling? Not happy, happy, I don't know. You can still come for lunch this week and we can talk it out, but... Okay, because they belong to... Can you get to the next scripture, please? By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving Him by spreading this good news. Though I am least deserving of all God's people, He graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about this endless treasure available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, has kept secret from the beginning. Get this, guys. As the church, we are God's eternal secret being made known to the universe. I mean, the church is, this is not to play games. We are not playing games there. This is big stuff. Can you carry on to verse 10, please? God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display His wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. So, Heartbeat guys, Brackenfell guys, Buddhist guys, Pinehurst guys, the variety, English, Afrikaans, black, white, colored, coming together in unity as the church. That's God's plan. Every gift is important. Every gift is important. Every life is important. Because we don't go to church, we are the church. Three more scriptures and we'll end. We'll land. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Eternal plan, not plan B. When you hear this, this is what should be happening in your heart. Man, I feel privileged to be part of this thing, his body. Sure. And then verse 12, it says, because our Christ and our faith is in him, and we can now come boldly and confident into God's presence. So please do not lose heart because of my trials here. I'm suffering for you so that you shall feel honored.